Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Well, we are right in the midst of a theological battleground. We've come to the text in 2 Peter 3:8. Which tells us that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now that is Peter's second explanation as to why the seeming delay in the second coming of Christ should not be understood as a delay at all. In the first place, it is because God's reckoning of time is very different from ours. Verse 8, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. But the second reason is because of God's long-suffering, His patience, His holding back on deserved wrath, and that explains the delay in the second coming of Christ. When Christ comes, that's going to shut the door on salvation. That's going to usher in judgment upon the unbeliever and upon the world, and it's going to mean that no one else is going to come to faith in Christ. No one else is going to be saved. And because of God's design and purpose and patience and long-suffering and His determination that none of His elect shall perish, He is holding back, or it seems to us, holding back on the second coming of Christ. Actually, the appointed time has always been set by God, but we should view it from a human standpoint as an act of mercy and love and grace and favor, loving kindness on the part of God, because God is not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all of us should come to repentance. Now, we need to talk about this a little bit further, and we will do so as we gather together around the Word of God on this Friday, June 12. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for your gifts which make this teaching ministry possible. Well, it's clear, of course, that the us here could not mean simply those who are already believers. So it must mean you or us as representatives of a particular company of believers. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any of us should perish, but that all of us should come to repentance. That is, you who are God's people, you who are Christ's sheep, you who are believers, and you who are the elect of God, God's patience, therefore, is waiting until all of the elect are brought to repentance and faith. That's what the text clearly says, when you take into account that all-important word, us, which makes it clear that He's directing this not to those who are on the outside, not to them. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not long-suffering toward them, not willing that any of us should perish, not any of them, but that all of us should come to repentance, not them. Now, this is clearly what the text is saying. It's only an unwillingness to recognize the obvious that employs the text as if it means the opposite of what it actually says. Now, this time I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 of this chapter and point out to you the shift from you and us on the one hand and they and them on the other hand. Here we go. Verse 1, Beloved, I now write to you. Who's he writing to? The elect of God, the believers. I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you, believers, may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and the commandment of us, there's that us language again, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now, we're going to see a little bit of a shift. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. Now we have a different pronoun, not us and you, but their. He's talking about those who are outside. All of humanity is into two different categories. The category of us, the category of them. The category of you and we, and the category of they and them. Now he shifts to the them. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they, notice that pronoun, they willingly forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, now he's switching back to the people of God, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, the beloved of God, not willing that any of us should perish, but that all of us should come to repentance. Now, the text interpreted in its context makes it clear that Peter is not talking here about any and all people in all the world indiscriminately. He's talking about a particular category of people, definitely, specifically, and that's who are in view. They are the elect of God, and God's patience is waiting until all of the elect are brought to repentance and faith. When the last one who will believe in Jesus Christ has believed in Jesus Christ, then the Lord will return. And, of course, only God knows when that will be. Only God knows who are his sheep. Those who are his sheep but have not yet come to him. They're still lost sheep, but they will be found. Only God knows how many of his sheep have not yet been born, but they will be. And in the passing of time, they will be brought by the Holy Spirit to repentance and faith. And God is exceedingly patient, waiting until the full number of all of his elect are believers in Jesus Christ, have been joined to Jesus Christ, and are safe. And until that day comes, the Lord will not return, because God is long-suffering. He's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. The old King James said, long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the truth of the matter is that we're in no position to be able to judge the question of delay. We don't know how many of the elect are saved and how many still need to be. But instead of delay, what is happening is mercy. Once all the elect are brought in, God's judgment will fall. This text is no proof text against the doctrines of grace, but actually a strong support. Now, the other issue is, does God have any mercy whatsoever toward all sinners, even those who will never be saved? And the answer actually is yes, but not from this text. You can derive that from other texts, and I'll not take time to read them, but in Exodus 34:6 and Ezekiel 18:23 and 32 and Ezekiel 33:11 and in Romans 2:4, you can accurately declare that there is an aspect of God's mercy toward sinners who will never repent and believe in Christ. But that's not the long-suffering that he's talking about here in 2 Peter 3:9 or 3:8 and 9. Not at all. He's talking about God's long-suffering toward his chosen ones from all eternity. And therefore, I would caution you about using this text to mean something that it doesn't mean. Don't misuse Scripture. Don't take a text out of its context. Don't ignore one single word in a text, which, when you take that word into account, completely changes its meaning, or it makes clear its meaning and reverses the meaning that some people apply to the text. Don't impose your ideals upon a text, but be careful to draw out of the text what is actually there. Now, in all of this, we need to be sure that we are on guard against the wiles of our adversary. We need to understand the deceptions of Satan. He desires to separate man from his Creator and King. And therefore, every one of us must accept our position as creature made by the Creator and subject to the King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that we have a responsibility to be subject to him and to obey his commands. And those who do find great mercy, and those who refuse will experience divine wrath. And the question is, which category are you in? Please understand the reason for Christ's seeming delay. He delays for the purpose of sinners being saved. Who knows? There may be a great multitude of sinners who are yet to be saved, and God is delaying the second coming of Christ for that to take place. God may be delaying the second coming of Christ for you, my dear radio listener, because you have not yet come to Christ in faith. Please do so. For God is just, but God is merciful, and he is tarrying for the repentance of many, and that may be for you. And that is his goodness. But please understand also the sinfulness of the human heart, how God's patience is used by the scoffers to argue against God, to turn people away from God, to question God's character, to question God's word. The very truths that ought to lead men to repentance are used by them to harden their hearts even further in rebellion against God. Oh, dear friend, let that not be you. Let that not be you. Understand, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank God for his rich, abundant grace. Until next week, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.